Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Titans get throttled in Buffalo, and as we do every Monday, we say hello to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I tell you what, that Vanderbilt Tennessee game, that ticket, you know, that's approaching $400 or $500 to go see that game, and I don't think I ever would have imagined a ticket being that much for a Vanderbilt game. But it's looking like it's going to be quite the showdown potentially.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. So I wanted to start with that. You were in Knoxville. You were at the game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
What was that atmosphere like?
It was loud. You know, my ears were ringing the whole way home from Knoxville. I think they got the decibel up to 130, 125 a bunch of times, which was interesting because last year, you know, I took my son, we went down to Alabama for the game, the Tuscaloosa matchup down there. And it just wasn't as loud as I thought it would be, honestly. You know, and that's from, you know, playing in Kansas City, playoff games, and then, you know, even playing up in Seattle when the Legion of Boom was just, I think it would register as an earthquake up there, right? So,
yeah.
But Knoxville was, it was loud. It was a really good environment, orange out. Obviously, it was a great game. First half was rough. It was a rough first half, but the second half was definitely a lot of fireworks, and it was a great experience.
That's really cool. Glad you got to, and I enjoyed the picture that you sent as well. It was looked like a cool time.
It was
so
cool.
It was it was not a good time for the Titans yesterday. It wasn't the first half. Put up 10 points leading at the half. I thought the offense was moving well with Mason Rudolph. The defense was making stops, and then everything just went awry in the second half. What did you make of Brian Callahan's decision to go for it on fourth down? If you don't get it, you know, they're in plus territory. The Bills are in plus territory. Ultimately, it doesn't work. And Buffalo marches downfield and scores. I felt like that changed the whole momentum of the game.
Well, I mean, if you look at not getting that fourth down, you know, the Titans responded with a punt, 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 INT, and 61 net yards after that call. Buffalo only has to march down 41 yards. And keep in mind, you're playing in one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, in Buffalo, right? They only have to go 41 yards, and, of course, they throw a touchdown to the new receiver Amari Cooper, right? And so all of a sudden now you're down 14-10. You know, my personal opinion, and you know, I don't mind the call. I guess maybe it was the actual play call when you have two runs back to back like that, especially in the first half. You have such creativity, right? Eight different receivers with catches. Mason, you know, he goes 18-23, 155 yards, a 109 rating, you know, compared to Allen, who was 4-11, 65 yards, and 44 of it came on a pass to Keon Coleman on a busted coverage, right? You know, Pollard was 11 carries for 64 yards, 5.8. You're crushing on the time of possession, 13-3 on first down ratios, right? You're 5-8 on third downs. They're 0-5, and Buffalo punted on 5 of their 6 possessions, right? So you are in complete control of the game. Now, it's only 10-7. You probably wish it was a little bit more, right? But if that's the case, you know, me obviously being the special teams nerd that I am, you're in Buffalo, hard place to play. It's windy as all get out, right? It's probably 20 miles an hour sustained wind, which is not easy to punt in at all. But in this case, you're downwind, right? Sam Martin was kind of struggling going on the screen. It would have been right to left. So he was going away from the tunnel, right? And he was just struggling to advance the ball. So in my opinion, hey, let Stoney hit one. Even if he hits a touchback, they're on the 20, let your defense come out, play the field position game, and then just keep that momentum going. But instead, obviously the play call is what it is, right? Now they only go 41 yards, and you lose all momentum whatsoever. And obviously, you know, I feel like after that, the rest of the game is history.
Talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter on the Chase and Big Joe show today. Brett, what do you make of the DeAndre Hopkins thing, not playing or playing very little? You've been in that locker room. You know what rumors happen on and on. I got to think it's tough to do your job when people think you're getting traded and your teammates aren't really talking to you and they're kind of skirting the subject. It's an odd place to be, I would think.
It's definitely an odd place to be. I was thankful I was a punter and I had no – media connection of anything whatsoever. I think Paul Kaharsky would interview me after like I had a bad game or a bad punt in a situation. And that was about it. Right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So I was able to avoid a lot of the media and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. Like, you know, D-Hop's probably on the end of his career. This is a guy that, like I said, we've talked about before, he's a gold jacket guy, right? You know, I felt like every time when he was with the Texans, it was, all right, here's D-Hop, 10 catches, 12 catches, 200 yards, 150. Like, so he's used to producing and producing at a very high level, right? And so I think at the end of his career-ish, right, I think he just wants to win. He's probably like the same as Derek. Like, I want to win. I want a chance at a ring. You know, I want that opportunity. And here, you know, now, like, you're not going to go to the playoffs, barring a Christmas miracle. And, you know, it's just, he's probably just, he has expectations and he has, yeah, he wants the ball. It's like, you know, when Calvin last week was saying, I want the ball. Like, these guys are, they're obviously high level athletes. They're wide receivers. They want the ball. They're used to making game changing plays. Getting into that rhythm. And so when that's not happening, you're kind of like, well, you start thinking, is there somewhere else I could go, right? And so I'm sure as a teammate, I would skirt away from it. There's no way I'd be like, hey, you know, talk to D-Hop, right? And he's going to say all the right answers, right? He's going to say, I love it here in Nashville or whatever. I don't think he's going to come out and say, yeah, I want to be traded. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But I could definitely see where his frustrations are for sure.
All right, so in 2019, you guys, I think when you made the switch from Mario to Tannehill, you were 2-4. But you guys competed, and there were some good things happening there. And you trade guys now in 24, Brad, and people are like, oh, the season's over with. I mean, in the back of your mind, anywhere, does this team – and I got a follow-up question after this. Does this team have any chance, do you think, of making the playoffs right now?
I mean, right now, well, no. I think there's probably a bunch of statistics – to go along with that, right? You know, I mean, you're looking at what? Maybe 1-2% chance of going to the playoffs?
Right.
I don't even know if it's that, right? And so, but it's hard. Like, you talk about trading guys, right? But, like, the real meat of where you develop your team and where you grow is that first round, second round, probably third round, right? So if you trade somebody like D-Hop, right, or you trade somebody like Derrick Henry, you know, in last year's situation, what are you going to get, right? And everybody's like, oh, you know, you know where Tom Brady was picked, right? Well, you know, that draft, 2000 draft, that's 24 years ago, right? And if you're looking at rounds, let's say, you know, fourth round, you're probably a tweener in the fourth round. Like, here's a guy that can come out, make an impact, start potentially, right? Or your fourth rounder might take a couple years to develop. I don't know. So even if you take rounds 5, 6, and 7, you're looking at what, 100 picks-ish? And then you go 24 years. So you're looking at roughly, let's say, 2,500 picks, and you got one Tom Brady. Like,
you're right.
That's a really, really low percentage, clearly, right? I went to Toledo. I'm not a mathematician, but that just seems like a really low percentage. So, you know, that's tough. Like, you trade D-Hop, what are you going to – I mean, unless you just want to build your draft capital to have ammo to potentially move up, move back, whatever situation you're in towards the end of the year. But, you know, it's I don't know. I mean, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, obviously. So then what do you do next?
Yeah.
It's hard because you see the first half of that game in Buffalo, you know, crazy crowd. And you see that and you're like, man, he's like, but then all of a sudden, like Sean, Bobby and Joe, the three, you know, head coach and the two coordinators got together at halftime and said, let's, you know, I'd have to look at the film from, you know, the bird's eye, like the players film. Cause it looked like Buffalo was kind of playing softer zone. And so, you know, Mason was able to just kind of pick apart short passes here and there, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, the pass rush came alive and Rousseau and company just teed off, you know, on the O-line in the second half. But, yeah, they're in a tough spot, right? So, and this roster, you know, when I was on the 2014 team, you know, when we went 2-14, like, this roster's better, right? I mean, I think I'd take Tony Pollard over Bishop Sankey. No offense to Bishop.
Great, like, you're great, right. Dude,
right. But yeah. this roster's a lot better, especially on paper. And you're just like, man, how are they, you know, why are they at where they're at, right?
Yeah, so, no, you're right. And that's why I'm thinking, if they had beaten Buffalo and you saw flashes they played against the Bears, you're like, all right, well, they're 2-4. There's something there. They haven't played good in the last 2 weeks. So I think if you trade players now, I think fans are like, oh, okay, we know now, we saw yesterday, we're not going to get the playoffs. Let's keep building and building and you know, get some young guys in there to play and see what they can do. Because what do you got to lose now, Brett? Nothing.
Right, but then, you know, but then also you have, like, draft picks, and there's a lot of pride involved too, right? And that's understandable. Like, you have – I don't – Oh, man, you need more. You could do like a whole 2-hour podcast on this thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's tough because, like, you're still showing competitiveness. And, like, that's the thing. Like, it's not like you came to Buffalo and you just laid an egg right in the first half. And you're like, gosh, why do we even fly up here for the pizza and wings, right? No, it's just, you know, you're very competitive. And then all of a sudden, you know, and I hope, you know, maybe it's a learning lesson for Brian. Like, hey, next time, you know, if this happens, like, because he's also a first time head coach, right, calling plays. So, like, he's got to figure out some stuff too as well, right? He obviously put together a great first half, and then, you know, the fourth down call, hey, you want to go for it? Great, that's fine. But, you know, hey, you know, maybe there's another play or two that I should have called that, you know, might have worked. It's just, it's learning experiences. It just stinks that, yeah, you know, as a fan, like, you want to win. It stinks being, you know, at the bottom of the league, and, like, that's what you're rooting for, especially when you have the guys that you have on this team.
Brett Kern is with us. You know, you've always struck me as a player that you play the game because you love the game. You know, that's, you know, and obviously it turned into a nice career for you, but, you know, you're out there because you want to be. We've seen players change because the landscape's changed. The contracts, you know, for certain positions are through the roof, and so therefore maybe priorities changed. Did you notice, like, in 2014 when the team wasn't very good and the conversations in the locker room, do you think they'd be different now with, you know, some of the – just the way the league has changed and like I mentioned, with the money and the contracts, that maybe there's not as much pride as there used to be on winning and losing?
I mean,
I know that's a tough question, but, you know, I figured I'd ask.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still think it's the same. I mean, I think the conversations that were had in 2014 – you know, when, you know, we went 2-4 are probably the same as, you know, when we went, you know, as the Titans right now are 1-5, like, they're the same. Cause you got to think too, like, not everybody has guaranteed contracts, right? There's a small percentage of guys that, you know, hey, and there's guys on this team, right? You know, they signed whatever, 3 years, $30 million, and they got 15 guaranteed, like, they got their guaranteed money. And there's a lot of players too that, you know, they could get cut, you know, tomorrow on a Tuesday and their salary's done for the year, right? So they collected 6 game checks and that's it. And so I would say there's definitely more of those guys for sure on the team that are just playing week to week, right? And so in understanding and learning that grind. But, you know, I think it's just a matter of pride. Like for me personally, like I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best player in the league. I always wanted to be pride myself on being consistent. And so that didn't matter. Like, at least in my position, it didn't really matter if you were 2-14 or 14-2, like my job was to go out there and be right. The best I could possibly be and be as consistent as I could possibly be. And if that meant, you know, having 9 punts and we were all backed up trying to flip field position, you know, I tried to do my best. If that was 5 punts and they were all from the 40-yard line and I only averaged 30 yards because all of them were at the 10-yard line, like, so be it. Right. And so, you know, I just, I don't know. It's, that's a tough question, but I do feel like, you know, guys are, it's same conversations, you know, from 10 years ago till now, because like I said, you know, guaranteed contracts are, they're there, but there's not as many, as you think. And you also have to understand too, like, hey, I'm in the first year of a guaranteed contract. Well, if you don't produce, all of a sudden it becomes, okay, how can we work around the salary to get rid of you? And what's the cap hit and what's the dead cap and all that stuff becomes. And so it's not like, yeah, you might get 15 out of your 30 guaranteed, but I mean, as a player, don't you want your 30, right? So in order for you to get your full 30, you better produce for that 3-year contract in order to get it. If not, they'll just try to find a way to get rid of you, salary cap wise, dead cap, trade, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's just, and it's not like there's a lack of effort out there. I mean, people say, oh, sure, they stink, there's no effort. No, it's like, I mean, it's there, right? It's just things aren't really, you know, to be able to put a full game together, it just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, well, we'll see moving forward. Brett, always appreciate the insight. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us as he does every Monday. We'll get back to the phones, back to your text, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106.3, The Game.